short-term gratification, that lack of understanding of time is why people quit trading. Like we've had people that come through the mentorship program that I think are really potentially good traders, but they don't have the right perspective on time.
I have never blown an account.
Crazy. Trading. You know who else never blows account? Girls.
From that, like trading is probably one of the very few careers outside of professional sports that you can go from naught to multi-millionaire in the space of a couple 10 years.
Right? Relatively quickly.
Yeah, relative. Yeah. So you can make $1 million in 10 years trading. You can't do that in many.
I mean, even if you're a doctor, like your salary doesn't move up like that. Like those are the things that I now think about, which create good stress. I think that as a man, you take from Andrew Tate a little bit, like there's pressure in a good way that can make you stronger, right? If you are too lackadaisical, you will waste your life away. I would rather have the pressure and fail and have to come back and figure it out than never have the pressure at all. So like, what was it like going from student to successful student to coach?
It's tricky because I still think...
Which is not the answer everybody would think you would say. Everybody would be like, oh, it's sick. What do you guys think makes both of you... Because you're both the London Session boys. Yeah. You stream on ASFX TV London Session. You will trade together every day. But you're both very different. Background is very different. Age is slightly different. Upbringing is very different. Country of origin is different. Johnson size is very different. What do you think? That look, I got Tom choking and I got him red. Well, you know who's got the bigger one. All right, guys, I want to pause the video for a second just to thank the sponsor. Top One Trader is a US-based prop firm that I think all of you should check out. They're offering a 20% off discount if you use the link and the ASFX discount code down below, probably flying in on the screen here above my head. The reason why I think you should check them out, besides the fact that they're competitively priced, besides the fact that they're already following regulations from 8 different global agencies, besides the fact that you can start with 400K and scale it to 5 million, it's really about the customer support that they're offering, which is instantaneous. They reply right away on their live chat. But also, the guys that are running the company, Matt and Clay, are super transparent. They want to change the industry by talking about the traders that they're A-booking and highlighting those traders that they're actually putting in the live market into their internal fund. I think that's one thing that clearly separates them from all these other virtual simulated prop firms that are popping up. So if you're looking for a legitimate firm, check out Top One. Again, there's a link in the description. The code is ASFX. I think you're going to be super happy with them. And I want to hear feedback from you guys. I'm enjoying trading with them so far. And everybody that we've sent from the previous sponsorship stuff is also enjoying it. So I think you will too. Hit the link in the description. The code is ASFX. Let me know how it goes. Let's get back to the video. What's up, traders? Welcome back to the Day Trading Show. We have a very, very special episode today. As you can see, I am with the boys that I've been working with for a very long time, and I'm really happy to be here in London. We just finished up our seminar, our second London seminar. We did one last year. This was the follow-up. It was bigger. It was better. It was more exciting. So we, of course, needed to sit down and have a in-person podcast to chat with both of you. So today, I'm going to grill both of you. I want to put your story on a pedestal. I think a lot of our listeners tune in. And they love the banter. They love the back and forth between all of us. But I think sometimes they don't really know you guys that well. So today, we're going to get cracking into it. If you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe. I don't want you to miss any of our future episodes. Coming up in 2024 and going forward, I'm going to be doing a lot more in-person episodes. And that's thanks to our sponsors. So whoever's the sponsor of this video, I always insert that in post-production. Please do me a favor and make sure you check that out with the links in the description. That's what allows us to go around and travel and do more of these episodes all over the world, as you can see. We're going to Miami in a couple of weeks to do some episodes. We're here in London today, so I'm really excited to be with you guys. So first, we're going to start with you, Mr. Bruce.
Yep.
I know a lot of our listeners know you as the bald-headed trading vigilante, the bald-headed skunk of the group, but I want to talk to you about the origins of how you got into trading. So why don't you tell everybody, what were you doing when you found, for the first time, what day trading is?
Yeah, I was playing professional rugby and studying towards my BCom financial management degree in 2018. That's how I found day trading. I injured my knee and I had nothing else to do. And
what did you do to your knee?
Yeah, tore my meniscus and ACL in my left knee.
So. I love that he goes, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why my pants
are ripped. Tore your jeans.
Yeah, I tore those too.
Listen, they're both ripped for a reason.
But yeah, and that's how I found trading. One of my friends that I was playing rugby with, he was trading, and I always thought it was a scam, to be honest. You know, you see all the BS on the internet. But yeah, that's how I found day trading, and I think yeah, it kind of just stemmed from there.
What did you like about it?
That you could make money from home.
Really, that's the main thing. Was there anything else that like excited you about it? Was the freedom of time, unlimited income potential, or was it just the ability to sit on your ass in your pajamas and make money instead of having to go to work?
Well, I think at that stage, I didn't really know the actual potential like that I could be doing. I mean, 5 years later, I didn't think, at that point, you're not even thinking 5 years down the line. I was thinking about making money for drinking on the weekend.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So Tom, how about you? Tell us, when did you first hear of day trading and what were you doing at that time?
So I first heard of day trading back in around March of 2020.
Okay.
Just when COVID happened, I remember it so clearly. I was betting on Cheltenham. I've got a sports betting background, and that was the last sporting event, and it stopped. Everything closed down, COVID. So I was like, right, I'm going to use this to work on some like trade, some psychology bits and bobs, because I was doing some sports betting stuff. And that's when I then came across trading psychology in the financial markets and ASFX. And ever since then, I was like, this is way more scalable.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You're not even able to bet with certain brokers now because of how much money you were making from the sports betting.
No, we're not in my own name under online bookies anymore. No.
Which is crazy. What excited you about day trading?
So for me, the freedom, like you've already mentioned, I liked the business model in the fact that there are very little overheads. It can be a individual thing, so you don't necessarily need to have a massive team around you, which is obviously something that probably changes as you come into it a little bit more. It was certainly one of the attractions. But for me, little overheads, unlimited earning potential, and something that you could do from anywhere in the world. I think they were the big things that was like, that was a model that I really liked.
I think a lot of people listening can relate to that. Back to you, James.
Yep.
After you finish playing rugby, the knee heals. What was one of the first losing experiences you had in trading? Did you just come in and start making money? Because you traded before you found ASFX, where Tom, you kind of just got into trading and found us pretty quickly, correct?
Yeah.
So for you, what was like one of those first initial losing experiences where you had to say, if I'm going to make this work, I got to go get some education. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this on my own.
Yeah, I ended up turning like $500 into like a couple of grand, mm-hmm. and I ended up blowing it.
No, you don't say.
Yeah. It was a surprise. And then I realized, I need to be taking like more courses. I need to learn from people that know more, right? And anyway, I finished my rugby, and that was about 2019. I ended up coming across you. I think that was when you first put out your course. It was about June 2019.
2019, for everybody that doesn't know my story, that's when I left the prop firm that I was working for in New York City. My wife, Riley, was like, hey, if we go off on our own and do this on our own, we can make more money and keep more money for ourselves. So that was in 2019. And you were one of the first guys that found me when we started that.
Yeah, I joined you. So I'd taken other courses but never really, no exact entry, exit, risk management, everything like that. But anyway, I think I joined you and there was a Telegram group chat. We had about 85 guys in the chat.
That's going back, bro. That's a long time.
Yeah. And I think, and then obviously that was end of 2019 and COVID hit and everything like that. But that's when my trading started to take off. But yeah, we can maybe speak a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. So his initial loss is kind of funny, right? Probably similar to a lot of our listeners, put some money into an account, make some money, and then one day or a couple of days, maybe even just a single trade, and it's all gone. What about you? What are some of the initial losing experiences? Because everybody knows we can talk about the wins. That's why I start with the questions about the losses. I think they're more relatable.
So I have never blown an account.
Crazy. Trading. You know who else never blows account? Girls.
So no, from that's a crazy financial trading perspective, I can hand on heart say on my kid's life, I've never blown a,
that's amazing.
Blown a personal account. From a sports like trading, sports betting perspective in the earlier days, absolutely, yeah.
Sure.
But from the Forex side of things, never blown an account. But from taking it back to like the sports betting, I remember very, very vividly a day where I'd lost about £4,000 in about 20 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
What keyboard, were you betting on?
It was just on an in-play horse bet.
What does that mean?
So whilst they're in play,
So they're
you can trade. You can trade whilst the in running.
Bro, they let you gamble on it while the race is already.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
like they let you now bet in the NFL and in the NBA mid quarter on what's going to happen. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that very, very vividly. I went numb very quickly.
And I bet
the keyboard came out.
The
keyboard came out and ended up in a million pieces.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Did you initially, when you got into the sports betting, only trade your own money? Just to kind of tie the conversation today into funding and capital and things like that, because everybody now is trying to get funded with prop firms.
Yep.
When we all got into trading the financial markets, prop firms were not a thing. We all thought FTMO was a scam. He was the first one to get funded with them, and I was sitting there on the sidelines thinking he was an idiot for doing it. So what were you doing as far as capital in those initial days for this sports betting and then also for your trading? Was it all personal
money?
Just
all personal capital, yeah.
So it hurts even more when you
lose. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It stings.
Yeah.
What about you? Because you initially attracted some capital from your family.
Yeah, correct. Private investors, aka my dad. And
how did you get him to believe in you?
Well, I went there with the track record. I was like, listen, and he was like,
how long of the track record?
Probably like a couple of months, bro.
And he believed in you that much?
Well, you see, I joined you and then my trading started.
He liked me.
Yeah, my trading started to take off from there. And I was sitting, I remember I was my last year of my degree, not playing rugby anymore because we were sitting in COVID. And my trading started to take off. I was, instead of being on lectures, I was watching your courses. It started to take off from there. And he came to me. I think the cool thing about, and I was saying earlier, is that in the other podcast earlier on, I was just saying that you need people to believe in you. It's like doing things with other people in life that believe in you makes the journey a lot more cooler, in my opinion, like more sick, right? So he came to me. He's like, listen, here's $10,000. Do with it. If you lose it, cool. But I'm going to believe in you, you know? And then from there, it took off. I started to make money. He gave me more, you know, because if you trust it with a little bit, you get more capital, you know, and that's how it kind of took off. And I'm still trading it today. And I still, that was way before prop firms. So I didn't even know what prop firms were at that point.
And then first six figure year was 2020.
That's right. Yeah.
So was that due to just the personal capital or was that due to the funding company?
Just personal capital.
Just
on personal capital.
So,
and then after that, I spent like the first 6-7 months in 2021 in drawdown when I was supposed to be trading full time.
Isn't that interesting? We'll come back to that. So sure. Everybody listening, we'll come back to that. Good.
What made you go to prop firms then from like your own? Because you were the first one and like, it's not like by this point you'd learned from Austin, you'd followed Austin. But like Austin said that you'd not gone. Oh, so what I'm trying to say is how did you find the prop firms after trading your own personal capital when Austin wasn't trading? He was skeptical of prop firms.
I was trading money.
How did that come about?
Right. I was with Awanda. I was just trading regulated money.
Yeah.
At the US broker.
So I started to see the power of capital, right? When I got given, you know, north of six figures, I started to see, like, the more money you have, the more money you can make. It's as simple as that, right? So that's why I was like, well, if these prop firms, I was just, like, going to take a chance. You know, I had made good money in 2020. I was like, well, if I just go with the with these prop firms, if they're legit and they pay me out, well, that's just another way of making money besides putting my own personal capital on risk or investor capital.
You know? What do you think in this time frame of, like, having that first successful year? I think crossing six figures is what a lot of people listening would say is a successful year.
Yep.
When you have that six-figure year of returns and then go into drawdown for 6 months, I'm going to guess some of the lessons you learned from sports, the hard work, the being honest with yourself, really had to come through in your trading. So can you speak on how you worked through that 6 months of setback mentally?
It's very tough. You learn a lot about yourself in terms of in who you are as a man, right? And I think for me, I just took the lessons that I learned, perseverance, never giving up. And, if you've done it once, you can do it again, right? So I know that if I've had a six-figure year, I know I can come back out of this drawdown. I can do it again. I can do it multiple times. I think that's just an unwavering self-belief in myself.
It's not just self-belief, though, bro. I think it's this grit. Like when you're down in a rugby match and you... It's raining, it's cold, it's tough, but you really, like you're in the playoffs. It's win or go home.
Yeah.
I think when you treat your trading like that, as you did every day of those 6 months, that's why you clawed out. You never really looked at it as like in a rugby match, you can't just walk off the field because it's hard. You finished the game. You saw this as a longer journey, which a lot of people listening in their initial years don't see that long term. Mm. And I think you don't talk about it enough, honestly, of how easy it is for you to have a long-term vision. Wouldn't you agree? Like the only way you're going to dig out of 6 months of drawdown in your first 2 years of trading is if you have a long-term view on the success of this business.
Oh, yeah. If you've got a short-term view, you're quitting.
You're quitting after those 6 months. 100%. 100%. Yeah. What do you think are some of the important characteristics that could be carried forward from sport for some of our listeners that are athletes, people that are working hard in their own type of, you know, athletic pursuit, even if it's just CrossFit like you do now?
Yeah.
What are some of those characteristics that translate over into good trading?
I think one of the big ones for me is that you can never be on your A game every single day, right? Just like trading and sports, they're both performance activities. At some point you need to perform, right? It's good to have a long-term view and everything like that, but at some point you need to perform, because if you're not performing on the rugby field, you're not going to get selected. And if you're not performing in trading, well, guess what? I'm not going to be able to pay myself and my family, right?
So, damn right.
Yeah, I think just being able to take each day as it comes and realize that this thing takes time. It's not an overnight thing, exactly like sports. It's not going to happen overnight.
Do you miss rugby?
I think if you got to think about it,
it's probably no.
I think I left, in all honesty, I think it's similar to Tom, and you can ask him that question. I think I left with a sour taste in my mouth from rugby, because I felt that was hard done by. I could have probably been playing still, because I know some of the guys playing right now, and I know if you ask me, I was better than them. So I could probably still be playing today. I don't watch as much rugby as I used to. Like, I love watching the Springboks.
Damn, so it really left a sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah, bro. I mean, that's why I started to play golf and play golf more, because I'm like, well, sorry, Tom, you're going to have to play with me tomorrow. But yeah. I was like, well, I need to find another thing that I can take my mind off of it, because it did really leave with like a sour taste. And it's just like taking a loss in training, it did. But I think I've come back around to it. I mean, I didn't watch rugby once I left. I didn't watch it for like 2 years, bro.
Really?
I didn't watch it for two years.
See, that's the opposite with me. I didn't play professional soccer or run track. I played in college. That was all I got to. But like, I miss it so much, because I miss the camaraderie. I miss like the grinding it out through the season, the practice with the boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think we get that now through the Black Shirt Club and through our...
So I'll tell you something that I realized in my trading as well, is when you do something for fun, and then all of a sudden you're doing that thing for fun to make a living, it's a lot different. Mentality-wise, because the people that you're supposed to be having camaraderie with, you're competing for the same position.
Yeah, you're competing for who's going to get paid the most.
Exactly. And in trading, it's the same thing. When I was trading full-time in 2021, it becomes like, shit, like, this is my only way of making money. And I think that when I started to do the coaching and other business ventures and stuff like that, it takes a lot of pressure off of your actual trading, and you actually start to enjoy it more, because you can't do well in something. You can be the best golfer in the world, like Tiger Woods, when he had that whole affair and everything like that. You're not going to win if your mind's not in the right place.
Right, you take dips.
Exactly.
But he came back.
But it's not to say that his talent wasn't there. Sure. His mind wasn't in the right place. And that, for me, is the same thing with regards to how my rugby was and how I've been able to actually use that in my trading and that mindset.
Sports is a high-performance skill. Trading, I think, is a high-performance thing. And it's really, like, find someone who was on top of their game their entire career, right? Even Michael Jordan. At the end of his career, playing for the Washington Wizards and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it comes in waves, right? Yeah. He was not the same Michael Jordan that he was, even though he thought mentally he was. He just wasn't able to compete it the same way, you know?
Yeah, and there's always this good saying. It's like, form is temporary, but class is permanent. So, as I said, if you've done it before, you can do it again, but you have to be in the right mental space.
So, love that.
What would be some of your tips then for the listeners in coping with drawdown then?
I think too many people keep it to themselves. They don't actually open up to anyone. They just keep it to themselves and they internalize everything. And then all of a sudden, something happens in the house and you just all of a sudden let it all out. And you're like, geez, where did that come from? You know, but you actually haven't been talking for the last 2 months to your partner or anything like that, or friends or family, whoever you want to speak to, your best friend, whatever it is, other people you work with, that you actually been struggling the last couple of months. And I think it's just speaking out and being more open and honest. I think too many people online these days, everyone is making money every single day, and that's just not how real life and real life trading is, you know.
Well, I think we could have a whole podcast about how bad the internet kind of is, as we put this podcast out on the internet, right? But most of the stuff on the internet is not conducive to profitable trading. It will really mess up your mindset. And mess up, more specifically, as we talked about at the seminar on Friday, it will mess up your expectations. Yeah, and when you have wrong expectations, misleading expectations, that leads to frustration. Frustration leads to tilt. And then you're losing money and you think it's a scam, and then you quit, and then you make videos about why trading sucks and everything like that.
Yeah.
Let's back up for a second for you. Talk to us about the golfing, because I think a lot of people don't know about your golf history. Club junior champion, like, talk about that for a second.
Golf started for me. I started playing in the back garden of my next door neighbor. Nobody in my family plays golf.
Really?
No, nobody. No parents, grandparents.
What made you pick it up?
Literally went to the local pitch and putt with my next door neighbor one like Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And that was it. Literally just hooked.
Hooked.
Yeah. And then just never, ever looked back. And golf was just my happy place as a kid. I'd spend every minute I could there. I would before school, after school.
Wow.
So yeah, golf, I loved it. It was my safe and happy place.
So what was the championship that you won?
I've had a few. I've won multiple club championships.
Don't you have a club record, a junior record?
Two course records.
Just casual, right?
Yeah.
So one of them, I've probably lost one of them now, but yeah, two course records, four under, five under, multiple, like I say, club championships, Midlands amateur championships.
Crazy.
But yeah, golf was good. I liked my golf. Played to a reasonable standard. And yeah, I just think there's so many similarities between golf and training. Yeah,
that's where I was going to go with it.
They're the same thing for me.
So similar.
Yeah.
As soon as I started playing last year, I saw it.
Yeah.
So similar.
Yeah. You are responsible. I can't blame anybody else.
It's like playing in a mirror. That's what Michael Jordan says. Yeah. Golf is like playing with a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you take full responsibility. Nobody else is to blame for anything. Nobody else is influencing. Like, it's exactly the same in trading. I'm in complete control of the swing. I'm in complete control of the trade.
How much golf are you playing now?
None. Can't stand it.
Why?
Apart from tomorrow. I'm looking forward to playing. I fell out of love with it.
You fell out of love with rugby. You fell out of love with golf. Yeah. I don't know what I fell out of love with. I still love soccer. I still love track. I don't know. I haven't had that experience. Yeah. So what happened?
I just couldn't give golf the time that it needed.
It needs time.
Yeah. When you get to a certain level, same with anything, you need to be practicing all day, every day.
It's unbelievable.
At least 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Yep.
And I just was at a stage in life where things were changing with the missus and obviously now having kids and things like that. And it was just time. I didn't have the time anymore for golf. And then for me, when you can't give it as much time, you then deteriorate.
Of course.
And then the frustration builds.
Oh my God.
Because
you think you should be as good as you used to be.
Correct. And then it comes back to expectations. And I'd see shots and I know I could hit them, but I couldn't.
That's frustrating.
And I'd just come back in and I'd get into the clubhouse and I'd just resent being there.
Really?
I missed the lads a lot.
Right.
A lot. We had a great laugh, great crack.
Right.
But yeah, it's a lot of time and yeah, just fell out of love with the game.
So you mentioned now, of course, being a father. How has that shaped your perspective on time and a long-term view? Because we just talked about how he had a really early perspective of like long-term.
Yeah.
That I think just comes innate to him. But now that you and me are both dads, we've both had this experience that's changed us in how we look at time. So speak on that for a second.
All right, traders, listen up. Before we continue with today's podcast, I have to share with you some important information. Because a lot of you come to me asking, how can you help me make more money, Austin? What does that process look like? The simple answer is you join the Blackshirt Club, which is our all-inclusive 12-week trading mentorship program, and you work with me every single day. In the Blackshirt Club, we don't just trade together. You get weekly private coaching sessions. You also get a year for free. That's $550 worth of value to trade Zella, to track your trades, to journal properly. So we actually have some data to make the adjustments from. But really, I think the bigger overarching thing you get in the Blackshirt Club is accountability and feedback from traders with more experience than you. Those two things alone are worth thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, because think about it. You're learning how to make unlimited income and you're saving yourself tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in potential losses. Remember, when I started trading, I had no mentorship. I lost almost $50,000 in the first 2 years. If I can save you from losing 50 G's, how much would you pay me? I want you guys to book a call with me. It's probably flying in up here. The link is in the description. Book a call. It's 10 minutes. It's free. If the Blackshirt Club is something that you're interested in. It is a little bit of a time commitment. It's for serious traders, not brand new people, but you get everything included. Like I said, TradeZilla, my course is included. I'll even give you a month free of ASFX TV. So book a call if this interests you. Let's hop on and see if you're a good fit. It's not for everybody. I am definitely selective in who I allow into the club, but if I think I can make an impact on you after that welcome call, we'll get rolling, we'll get the 12 weeks popping, and we'll get you making more money. Link is down below. Like I said, maybe it flew in above my head. Tap it, book the call, and I'll speak with you guys soon. Again, thank you for being a listener of the podcast. Let's get back to the video.
I have, these last 16 months have been the fastest 16 months of my life. I can still feel like it's yesterday, the day he was born.
Right.
And the way that he's grown and gone from like literally a tiny baby to now he's like a, I say he's a little hurricane. And he's like 16 months old, and like Mrs. sent me a picture yesterday and he's literally climbing up the cupboards, throwing things out of the cupboards, and I'm like, oh my word. And he's just like, just getting started. But yeah, time is just going so fast. Like there's just no spare time in the day.
So you are known, I'm tying this into the dad thing, you're known for the Kaizen Trader.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So it means continuous improvement, really. So good change.
How important is the good change and the continuous improvement? How important is it to meet that with the proper time horizon, the proper view of time? Because people want to, what I'm saying is people want to improve, but I have a very strong feeling that they don't want to give it the adequate time.
No, I think in today's society, that's hard because everything is instant.
Yep.
Instant gratification,
Instagram.
All of the services out there are trying to make things faster.
Yep.
Like Amazon, you can get same day delivery. You probably can't in
same day food delivery. Yeah. Oh, South Africa, you got load shedding.
Yeah.
The guy's driving the food to your house and his car just stopped working.
Netflix, everything's like instantaneous.
Right.
And acquiring a skill, whether it's golf, whether it's rugby, whether it's trading, it just can't be rushed. You have to internalize it and learn it. And that process still takes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And that is so hard to do in a society where everything is so quick.
Yeah, so true. And I think that short-term gratification, that lack of understanding of time is why people quit trading. Like we've had people that come through the mentorship program that I think are really potentially good traders, but they don't have the right perspective on time.
Yeah. I think, what was that tweet? That it was like 2 years with the best resources.
The best.
World, and they were making like $4,000 a month.
And all I did for the first 2.5 years was lose money.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it comes back to expectations like we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
You do need to have that expectation that this is like learning to be a doctor, a pilot, whatever it may be. It's going to take years, not weeks.
Yeah. Which is tough because a lot of people get into this business because they want to make money, right? Like you were just talking about how we were very competitive in rugby because we wanted to get paid. You're fighting for that check.
Yeah.
So let's just talk for a second about balancing realistic expectations in trading, especially as a new trader. What would be some of the advice we can give to the listeners? You go first. As far as like how to, okay, I understand what Austin's saying. I don't want to rush things. I don't want to have unrealistic expectations. But what does that actually look like? Like, this is what we're big on with ASFX, everybody. At the seminar, I said this 7 times. I was like, here's the big buzzword that you hear people say. Here's the tactic of actually how to make it easier for yourself. So what do you think an easy way to impress upon people that the time that it takes to become successful? Like, you can just read Lance's tweet, but it's not going to be enough. So what do you do in that time to avoid the frustration that comes with unrealistic expectations?
Well, 90% of traders lose money, right?
So probably more than that.
I think the first thing is to be like, if you can just break even on the year, you're doing better than most.
100%.
Right? And then I think because of Instagram and everything, this instant gratification, everybody wants to make 100K in their first year of trading or in their first 5 years of trading. I mean, I was maybe an outlier, but like, I think for me, it's just, if you can make 5K your first, like in a year trading, well, guess what? There's 5K more than what you made the previous year.
Right.
If you can make 20K, okay, that's 20K now, then what more than what you made last year.
So what are you saying? Be grateful?
I'd say take each year, be grateful for what you do make because people are getting, losing from the market. And then you can always scale up from that. Like trading is probably one of the very few careers outside of professional sports that you can go from naught to multimillionaire in the space of 10 years.
Right. Relatively quickly.
Yeah, So you can make $1 million in 10 years trading. You can't do that in many years.
I mean, even if you're a doctor, like your salary doesn't move up like that. You know what I mean?
In the scalability, no.
Right.
So yeah, I'll just say,
I like that. The gratitude is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be grateful for the opportunity to do anything and set a realistic timeline for yourself based on your situation.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it. We have listeners that are in the Dominican Republic. They don't need to make $15,000 a month like I do to live a good life.
In South Africa, you can make $50,000 and you can live like King Muck.
King James.
You're right. What do you think, Tom, as far as like how to impress upon people to have, like what is the tactic behind understanding the long-term view?
So for me...
Have kids. That's what you're going to say.
Yeah. No, I think for me, look, with the bigger, longer time horizons, one tactic that I like to use is breaking it down into smaller pieces.
Sure.
Because for me, and it comes back to like the Kaizen again and the continuous improvement, I know the big goal of being consistently profitable and earning seven figures in a year and everything like that can be very overwhelming and very daunting. And I think a lot of people quit because they're not making progress, in their opinion, towards this very daunting goal or overarching goal, when really, if they actually chunked things down and said, right, this month I'm just going to work on this, or this week I'm going to work on this, you're building up like momentum from a confidence perspective. And that's very, very important to keep moving forward and not getting bogged down too much with this overarching goal that seems million miles away.
Sure. So if you want to make 100 grand in a year, how much do you have to make every month? How much do you have to make every week? Then what are the habits that you need to exemplify and live by in order to then see that smaller financial goal to get you to your bigger financial goal?
Yeah, I like it chunking. For me, I think that's the big one.
Tommy likes it chunky.
And I do like it.
Okay, good. I love that answer. I think we want to talk for a second, because we spoke about this at the seminar, about routine. It's a buzzword, but we're going to get into tactics. Routines are very important. What was the quote we said at the seminar? The routines are the foundation of your success, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing today, now this far into both of your trading careers, that allow you to stay, quote unquote, on edge? What are the mental and physical routines that you're living by that you think allow you to perform really well? Just like when you played rugby.
Yes.
You have a warm-up. You have a meal the night before. That's a really good meal, right? You have those routines.
Yeah.
People think that trading is just, oh, show up, hit my phone and do it.
Yeah.
They don't think about these foundational things that would lead to a higher outcome, a higher performance.
Of course.
So talk about some of the routines and structures that you're living by.
Yeah. So I'll be honest with you, like right now, I've been in the UK a lot longer than you now. I've already been there over a week.
I know. I can hear your British accent.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm really feeling like a little bit edgy. I am, because I haven't been in my routine for like 10 days. Like now I'm starting to get to that point where I'm like, dude, I need to get back home. I need to get back to the CrossFit. I need to start, you know, see Amanda and everything.
He looked at himself in the mirror and he was like, oh shit.
Yeah. So I think one thing that's been big for me this year has been working out. When I left rugby, and this is I was getting paid to basically work out, you know, all day, every day.
That's it.
But when I left, I was like, well, I don't really need this shit. It's COVID. I'll just relax. I lost like 10. I was wearing about 85, 86 kgs. I was, I don't know. You guys are weird. Pounds and stones. I don't know how much that is. But I probably lost about 10 to 15 kgs of muscle and during COVID, because I just, which is like maybe 25 pounds. I just didn't work out, bro. Like, so I think last year, I started to get back into last year, but last year I went about 50 times to the gym to work out. And I told myself at the beginning of this year, I'm going to be true to myself and I'm going to get back into discipline and routine. And this is something that Tom's been holding me accountable with, is this year, I think I've worked out about 190 times, right?
That's awesome.
So I've got better, you see. So next year, my goal is to do 220, whatever. But I think that is being big for me, is just daily routines of going to the gym. And even when I'm tired, just going and working out. I think that's been a big one for me.
When you're tired and you don't want to go, what's the motivation to go?
Well, I know that someone else is not going to do it, so I want to do it.
How about also that Tommy is your accountability partner?
Yeah, and he's going to be like, well...
So okay, it's an internal motivation, but it's an external accountability.
Exactly.
Write that down. Internal motivation, external accountability. I think that's what everybody needs to really focus on. I like that. I like the specifics of working out. And I would just highlight for a second your mistakes that you made last year.
Yep.
Double digit blowout days.
Yeah.
Still made money last year, correct?
Yep.
But double digit, 20 something blowout days where you knocked out a funding account, knocked yourself into drawdown, had to claw it back up, whatever it was. This year, how many you got?
Three or four. Yeah, four.
So even there, incremental improvement. That's it. Exactly. We're going to talk about this in a second. The inchworming, the bringing up the C game. I love that.
Yeah.
Talk to us about structures and routines in your life.
So,
it's super easy, I'm sure, now with the toddler running around. Oh, structure is super easy.
So exactly. It all feeds into one. So I think for me, we're in a 24/5 market trading Forex. I know you trade your indices, but the thing is, you can bet at any or trade at any time in that market. And I think for me, it's really, really important to say, do you know what? These are my set times. This is when I can take trades. This is when I can't take trades. And then just building that consistent pattern. Because if I want consistent results, I need to have a consistent routine and structure.
Yep.
So every single day, I have the same routine Monday to Friday. Yep. I get up in the morning, take the dog out for a walk. I do my pre-market analysis. I trade 8 till 11. I have a two-hour break to go for a run, have some lunch, and then come back for the US session, do my daily review, then spend time with the family. Every day is the same. But
you got some people... set time there. What time do you take a shit?
Oh, I but for like you say, with the kid and everything like that, everything is broken down. But with it being so consistent, it helps me stay consistent in my routine and then hopefully produce consistent results. And like you say, time is more important than ever. So by me having it set out, I know exactly what I'm doing and when. Whereas in the market, like you say, some people will take a trade at like 8 in the morning. They'll take it at 3 at night. They're trading off their phone. Like, I don't think that is professional.
I agree.
I think like when you go to any other job, there's structure.
Yeah.
Well, do you think the people at S&P Capital are trading off their phone on the toilet? Probably not.
Of course not. Yeah. No. So I think it's, if I want to be professional in this industry, I need to put some professional structure in place.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. Let's go into another topic for a second. We talked about coaching. We've talked about how coaching has impacted both of you outside of trading. In the last video we've just filmed, we talked about how both of you were positively impacted through my coaching, through ASFX and through what we do. So let's talk about that for a second. And then I want to hear from you guys after you explain how I made an impact on you. I want to hear how coaching other traders has also made an impact on you. So I'll go to you first.
Yeah.
Talk about when you found me and what we did together. And then we'll go to Tom and talk about how it literally evolved. It didn't change in a bad way, it evolved into something better.
Yes.
So what did it look like? You know, take me back. Because, you know, I might have been smoking a little too much Za and I forget what it was like back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for everybody, that's what James calls weed.
Zol. But no, I think back in 2019 when I saw you, you know, I saw you in a position that was, I mean, I was 20 years old at the time.
Impressionable.
Yeah, I'm old now. I'm 25.
Right.
But I think that at that time, I knew that you were doing something that I wanted to be doing in the future. And that's, I think, the whole point of, you know, asking people that are in a better position, like yourself, how can I do that? And that's why I bought your courses, because I was like, well, I want to be, if you're doing this, how can I be doing that? And and you're trading with us every single day, which you're still doing in the live. And like, you weren't just like, yeah, buy my courses, but you'll never hear from me.
Right.
And that was something that you consistently do. Is that you're
trading? I do.
Yeah, you do. But you're trading with us every single day and showing us your trades and how you were actually navigating the markets on a day to day basis. So that was for me really, really cool. I think how transition now into me now coaching with you is that when you coach, you're actually reiterating the stuff that you need to be doing to yourself. I mean, it's like practice what you preach. If I tell Tyler to not go on tilt and then I go on tilt, I'm going to be like, well, what a dick, you know, because I'm doing the same thing what I'm telling him not to do. You have to practice what you preach. It actually holds you accountable to the same levels as what you preach.
And when we started the Black Shirt Club, so after you had a really successful year and then I knew you wanted to be involved more, I saw the opportunity that I could start a real business here. And it's not just something me and my wife can make some money on selling in a course and then my own trading. I said, well, I could employ you and I can employ a video guy. I can employ this and that. And I saw the opportunity there. Do you remember what it was like when we started it and we had no one in the mentorship?
Yeah. There was.
What were we doing at first? We were charging like $500 a month, right? For like one call a week as a group and trading together every day.
Something like that, bro. But even before that, there was no even mentorship. It was just you buy the courses, you're in the Telegram. There's actually, and then now that we've evolved, you've actually bought, it's like you've created like your own business. And
better services.
Better services, but also you're helping a lot of other people. Vince with a video, Tom, me, you, Evan, you know, so it's become like a whole team project. I'm not gonna lie,
it is weird. Like when I hear you say I went full time and I'm paying events full time and like I have people that have like made a big change in their life because of something that I was started. It is a little bit, I don't know what the word would be. It's not anxiety or nerve wracking, but it's just weird. You know, in a way, it fuck yeah, bro. It's fucking weird because it makes me feel pressure in a way, a good kind of pressure that I got to deliver. We got to keep growing. I got to lead by example, lead from the front and try to make sure that you eat and Rupert eats and Vince eats and his girl eats and he can afford to go on vacation. You know what I mean? Like those are the things that I now think about, which create good stress. I think that as a man, you take from Andrew Tate a little bit, like there's pressure in a good way that can make you stronger, right? If you are too lackadaisical, you will waste your life away. I would rather have the pressure and fail and have to come back and figure it out than never have the pressure at all. So that's why I think it's good pressure.
Yeah, pressure's a good thing. I think pressure's good. Yeah.
Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah, I think pressure's good.
Pressure's good. So,
but yeah, imagine like how some of these like Amazon, like Jeff Bezos.
Oh my God, bro. With like hundreds of thousands of employees.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They're reliant on their ideas.
It's unbelievable when you look at it and you are an employee. Yeah. Now be me with a couple of employees and you're like, oh my God, I can't even imagine that. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So, yes. And I think one more thing we should talk about. In the initial days of the coaching program, why did we really start it?
Yeah, to help other people, but also make more money, bro.
To make more money. Yeah. And I want everyone to know we started the coaching program because we wanted more streams of income. I don't want to be cute about it of like, I wanted to save the kitties. Like, no, bro, we did it because it made our trading better. We made more money trading as we started to bring in other income.
And that's what...
And we made a positive impact on people.
Of course, at the same time. But I think like... We can't sit here and say to people, only trade and that's the only thing you must do. Well,
bro, that's misleading.
Because we're not doing that. You must have, that's why when someone comes to me like, James, I want to go full time. I'm like, that's probably not a good idea.
It's not even necessary.
I'm like, I know I'm young, but this is the only job that I've had, bro. Like I've been trading and I went full time, whatever that is, where my only income in 2021 was from trading. And then we started and I realized if I have a second source of income, a third source, fourth source, it takes pressure off my trading because I'm like, hey, if I have my other businesses that can cover my monthly expenses, which I try and keep relatively low, it takes so much pressure off my trading, you 100%. Know, and I can trade better and make more money trading.
Yep. And then
I think for me, COVID was a big one for that. There was a lot of people that was just lost their income overnight.
Oh, that was our big year. Yeah. Everyone,
overnight. And now all of a sudden, like it kind of gets the cogs turning that one income stream is not enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not enough.
No, especially
when diversify
inflation.
Yeah,
I mean we can go. That's a political conversation we're not going to go into. But like the things that are going on in the world right now make it very clear that if you just sit there and hope that your employer is going to keep giving you raises and it's going to keep your lifestyle growing, you're wrong. And I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to that. It's dangerous, right? And then maybe if you're a single dude before like Amanda, like you know you're a single guy, yeah. Sure, right? It's fine. But if you have a family and kids, you've really got to have the foot on the gas. Mm. So then we bring you into the mentorship. You became just one of the students. You just found us. Tom did exceptionally well, got funded in the first 3 months of the program. Like you were with us for 3 or 4 months and you passed a funding challenge. And that's when you really were like, yo, I can do this. I can turn this up. Correct?
Yeah. So I think I joined the mentorship around October, November of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then stayed in the group. And I think I got funded around the March of 21. And then, just never really looked back.
That's what I'm saying. So you became the model for the Black Shirt Club. Because again, before that, we were just like, hey, come in. We'll kind of help you make more money. You, I think, really showed people in our community, if I get with these guys and I listen and I'm an open-minded, coachable person, which you are, I can get funded very quickly and I can build the right habits and maintain them if I stay around these guys. And then, of course, we saw potential. I don't know about him. I saw potential in you to bring value to the community. And now I kind of feel like that's a role that I have in our group where I'm like a talent scout, where I look at Ivan and I look at these guys. I'm like, Otto, these guys got it, bro. And I'm like, I need to keep those guys close. Like I've tried to keep you close because together we always go further, right? Yeah. So what was that experience like for you initially? Like what was it like going from student to successful student to coach?
It's tricky because I still think...
Which is not the answer everybody would think you would say. No, everybody would be like, oh, it's sick.
Yeah, no, it's tricky and it's hard at times because I still feel that I've got so much to learn.
Exactly.
So much to learn. And like going on these podcasts and speaking to these guys that have been in the industry 20, 30 years, they still say exactly the same.
Same thing.
Like they still feel that there is so much to learn.
Yep.
I think part of me just took a bit of a risk. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to give it a go. What have I got to lose? I was unhappy in a job that I didn't like. I was having my first baby. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to give this a go. I don't mind taking a bit of a risk.
Fucking love that.
And I was like, yeah, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. That's one of your strongest things, bro. Your strongest characteristics is you're not afraid to take risks. Whereas most people become more successful, they become risk adverse. You have not shown that characteristic, which is a strength for you.
Yeah, I think it's, I like to think of it as calculated risks.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would not disagree with that at all.
Yeah.
Not gunslinging.
But yeah, I've loved it. I love helping traders like that are struggling or in their career just to try and make them better. And I really do take a lot of satisfaction like going through the coaching calls in the BSC,
yep.
And like when they come to you and say, oh yeah, like I've had a great week, I've had my best week ever.
Right.
Or like when they were losing training, like the like you look back over their time in the BSC from like week one to week 12, you think, wow, that person's grown so much.
Yeah.
That's what gets me.
Like Arvin. Arvin has been in the Blackshirt Club, was at the seminar. He says he had his first profitable year this year. And he says, I'll give James 80% after about 10 beers. I'll give James 80%, not 100, 80. But it is super cool to see that excitement in the guys.
And that was the next kind of topic I want to talk about, is just where can a day trader or a swing trader find fulfillment? I don't believe it's through trading the markets. I don't feel any better about my worth in the universe when I make money, when I pass a funding challenge, when I get a payout. Do you really feel better about yourself? It's almost like to me, and maybe this is just where I'm at in my journey, it's like, oh, good, you did what you were supposed to do. You executed a rules-based strategy. You did that over a certain period of time, and that rewarded you properly. There's no fulfillment in that, though, where like you just said, when somebody comes to you and goes, bro, I lost 50% year one, I lost 30% year two, and now I just made 7% this year. Dude, like you just gave that guy a taste of freedom,
success, yeah,
a taste of success. That is so much more powerful than a 50K payout or a 100K payout. Money comes and goes. Yeah. When you make a positive impact on some, will Ivan ever forget working with us?
Probably not, bro.
So for you guys, where do you take fulfillment in this business? Do you agree with me that it comes from the coaching, or do you disagree? Can you find fulfillment in trading?
No, it definitely comes from helping others for me.
Yeah.
Even like in all walks of life, not necessarily just helping in traders, but like for me, the big one is like just helping Dan and Granddad and things like that. It's just, that's what makes you feel good as a person, knowing that you're helping others.
Okay? Even when it's hard.
Yeah, when it is hard, yeah. But having the ability to do that. So I think that's a big one for me.
Yeah, I think obviously I love helping people. Otherwise, I wouldn't be coaching, of course. So, but I think one for me also, I like to show that it actually is possible to make a living from trading the markets, because where I'm from in East London, South Africa, there's a lot of people that when I first started trading, they used to laugh. Like my friends and that, they used to say, well, what's this clown doing?
Of course.
You know, posting, you know, when I'd first joined you and started posting like on my stories and stuff like that, some of the guys would reply with like laughing faces and like, dude, what are you doing? And I think just to prove, because I like proving people wrong, that it actually, well, not even that, proving myself right, that I'll show you I can do it.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is a big thing. Like, you want to compete against yourself, but I also agree with you that like having people to prove wrong is that fire, bro.
Yeah.
Like that lights,
and that's,
it's like,
to be honest, I do find fulfillment from that.
Yeah,
like, to prove myself right.
Right,
I do. Yeah,
100%. Do you feel like now, because of the success you've had, I kind of want to put you on the spot with something, but
yeah.
Now we're gonna put you on the spot. So for everybody listening, he never talks about this, but I want you to share the story about what happened with your broker a couple of years ago.
I was 21.
You see the sweat coming off of his head now that I've put on the spot.
I was 21, 22 at the time, and I was just trading my own money. This was before the private investor capital. And then about a couple of months, I had my first 10K month. And about a couple of days later, I get a call from like a random number. Anyway, it's my broker's hitting me up. I said, how's it, James Bruce? They're like, yeah, I'm so-and-so from my broker. And they were like, yeah, we want to meet you. I was like, okay, cool. Anyway, they meet me up and they tell me now they've gone from B booking me to A booking me. I was like, sorry, I don't really know what that is. I'm 22 years old. I'm just trying to make money trading and do my passion. And then, yeah, all of a sudden it changed from there. And that's when you start to realize, like, man, like, people take you a lot more seriously as well when you start to, like, taste success. And it's something that actually, once you've experienced that for yourself, and I thought that was quite cool. I mean, they take me out for, like, dinners once every quarter, stuff like that, send me, you know, kit and all that. It's like you start to want to do that more.
Did it make you realize that all the people that were laughing at you because they were insecure that they couldn't be successful because they failed?
Yeah, well, once you experience it yourself, the whole game changes, right?
Yeah.
Because once you actually make money for yourself, you realize like you got the key code to the matrix, bro.
In a way.
So I think it also, though, no matter how successful you become, and this is something that I've taken from you and Tom, is that I'm very close, like, to I love family, right? And like for me, having a partner like Amanda, like, she always keeps me humble and grounded, you know. I've always been she's always, no matter how much money I make or lose, she's always there. Like, at the end of the day, you're always going to have your partner or significant other. Now with you guys have children, you know, I'm gonna have five, so I'm gonna catch up quickly. But
Wait till you have one.
Been practicing a lot. But she, like, it keeps you humble and grounded. And I don't think, like, just for me, I don't think it will ever get to my head, because I did let it get to my head in the beginning, you know, after a couple of months, and then quickly Amanda will come back and be like, who's the boss here?
For sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk for a second about, and I appreciate you sharing that story.
Yeah.
I wanted it on video.
Yeah, 100%.
This dude doesn't brag. He really doesn't. What do you guys think makes both of you, because you're both the London Session boys, yeah. You stream on ASFX TV London Session, you will trade together every day, but you're both very different. Background is very different, age is slightly different, upbringing is very different, country of origin is different. Johnson size is very different. what do you think? That look, I got Tom choking and I got him red. Well, you know who's got the bigger one.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Right, on the golf course. Yeah. Right.
Being so different, what do you think allows you guys to flourish? You're not even just successful together. What allows you to flourish? Because I think the feeding off of each other, that is what leads. Independently, I don't think you'd individually be where you are without each other. So yeah. Even though you're different, how does that lead to more success? You go first.
I feel like James is like the little brother. I really do. I feel like...
I see that.
Yeah. I feel like I have to like cuddle him and like take him under my wing
a
little bit.
Even in the mannerisms when we're all hanging out, I can see. You look out for him like that.
Yeah. But I take so much from James. I think I admire who he is as a person. And the way that he trades the market, I love studying and learning from people around
me. Even when it's hard to understand what he's doing.
Oh, absolutely. I've got no idea at times. It's taken me years to understand. I feel like for the first time ever, I'm starting to get there.
Right.
Apart from, the only bit I'm not sure on.
How does he get out of the trades? Yes. Trade. Yes. And all we can figure out is discretion.
Yeah. So no.
Feel in the Johnson.
But I think like it's just... Same with any, like, it's almost like a friendship now. You could say that we're colleagues or whatever, but like you say, we work together every single day. We talk every single day. I think, but you just learn from each other.
Yeah.
Like, because he's got his own strengths, you've got your own strengths. And like you say, we're all very different.
Yeah.
But we've all got our own unique talents in that area. So we do feed off each other very, very well.
Why do you think it works well?
Because Tom's a wise man. And I admire the attributes that Tom is very calm, he's relaxed. And he gives me a lot of life advice, you know, and in the mornings, we're not only speaking trading. That's the cool thing. Like when there's nothing happening in the markets, we're also speaking about life, you know, like Tom, hey, what would you do in this situation or something like that? Or this is happening in my personal life. And I think, exactly like I have Amanda's dad and my dad one of Amanda's cousins, Tyler, they're very good businessmen as well and people, and they can give me advice that, and maybe they had made mistakes when they were younger. If they can change some of the things that maybe they would have changed, they can help me and make the right decisions at my age, you know. I think that for me, I've already messed up too many times in my life that I'd rather, if I can be pointed in a direction, I'd rather take that. And yeah, that's something I take from Tom a lot.
100%. And what I think it can be summed up in saying is, no matter how different you both are, you're both coachable. You're both open-minded. Doesn't matter if you're telling me what to do or what not to do. You both take both sides of that very, very well. And that's something I want our listeners and our students and our traders to really understand. The best traders are very coachable, right?
Yeah, I think for me as well, another part of that is the growth mindset. I think all of us here think that we can all get better, want to get better at whatever it is that we're doing. And I think that's a massive part of that.
But that's a perspective. And I think some people have a shitty perspective on life and trading. And I think you need to be around the right people with the right perspective to get that.
Yeah.
Like I always say, sometimes you'll learn what to do, but sometimes you'll learn what not to do. And you only see that if you have the right perspective.
Yeah.
It's really tough for a lot of people.
I would say some of my biggest life lessons have come from
what
not to do.
100%, bro. 100%. Especially when it comes to treating other people, dealing with other people, right? Making business decisions. You see what people have done and how it screws them up. Yeah. And you're like, I'm never going to make that mistake.
And that's why you can learn from everybody. I don't feel like you can't learn from anybody.
I totally agree. But a lot of people will disagree with us and they'll stay broke. So good luck. For you, as we've come full circle now, what are some of the issues that you've seen traders struggle with that maybe you could relate to? And how did you help them work through it? And then I'll come to you after.
Yeah, I think so. For me, my biggest mistakes were over-position sizing and moving my stop loss.
Too big of a position?
Yeah, too big of a position, or in a position, move my stop loss, double the position.
Because you don't want to be wrong?
Because I don't want to be wrong. Those are the two ones. Those
Wait,
are
my... you the big Johnson and you got an ego?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's Thomas had the small one. yeah, I think that, yeah, just there's so many mistakes that people make. There you get the common ones. But I think for me, something that Tom and I have been working on this year has been improving the C game. Jared Tendler's book, The Mental Game of Trading. If you guys haven't read it, I definitely would say that's probably one of the best trading books that I've read. And I think just the only thing that you can guarantee is your worst game. So, for example, last year I had really, really good year last year on my private equity and on prop firms. But what happened was I was having these really good runs, and then I would have like two or three bad days that would knock it all back. And I'm like, I need to stop this shit. And eventually when I found that book, I started to read about it. I was like, yes, this is exactly what's been happening for me. I'd have a great A game, but then on the maybe once every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, when I have a really bad day, would knock all the 3 weeks of gains out. So, you know, knock them out the park. So I think for me, has just been improving the C game, you know, not trying to focus too much on like trying to make more money, but how can I stop doing the dumb shit less?
Love that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably the same for me. I think my biggest sort of mistakes and errors come from revenge trading a lot of time, or certainly did. So I think going off edge was the one for me. Like, I would go off plan, and that's the one thing I really liked about the ASFX entries. It's very rules-based, and all of my big blow-ups came when you don't follow the rules, which is why, and again, if I lean into my beliefs, is why I like the data, because it's either black or white. And like you guys, you can use your discretion, and it's one part of your massive edge, I would say. But that's just not who I am. So I do like the rules-based side of things, because it's either black or white, it is a trade or it's not, and that helps me stay on edge. And any time that I go off that, that's when I used to just blow up.
100%.
Just used to blow up by doing that. So yeah, recognizing that through doing like all the journaling in the BSC and the daily report cards is massive for that self-awareness.
I love that. You mentioned Jared's book. It's a great resource. As we are going to post this episode in the beginning of the new year, the beginning of 2024, what could we share as some of the resources for people? Maybe it's a book, maybe it's a Twitter account that really made an impression on you last year.
The biggest one I always go to is your own trading journal.
It's a good answer.
It holds a lot of the answers.
Half the people listening don't even have a trading journal.
No, and that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
I think as one single resource that holds the answers to all of your behavioral patterns, all of your trades, you're going to be able to identify a lot of your issues through your own trading journal. But people just don't take it serious enough.
Yeah, I mean, again, we talked about how social media, MetaTrader on an app, all these things make it easy to not take it serious. Yep. Just like I always used to say, Forex is a 24-hour five market because they want you to trade at all hours of the day and lose money.
Yeah.
They don't want you to have structure. They don't want you to have the routines and the discipline that you need. So it's a great answer. What do you think? Good resource for all of our listeners.
Don't. What are you going to say, bro? Don't fucking look at me like that. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
You do know what I'm going to say.
OnlyFans.
No, Liam's account. No, it's my favorite one for now. I'll throw one Twitter account in there is Anthony Credetti, of course.
Why?
I just love that guy's perspective on life and trading. And another one is actually Pax, the Pax Trader.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is because those are old heads in the game that have been here for many, many years. And Credetti had $1 million year before the age of 30, right? And he still says, he never knows it all and he's always trying to learn. So that for me, those two accounts, I really look up to him. The reason why I also look up to him is because they've been married for many, many years and their wives have partners, have been through them, through the highs and the lows. And I think that for me, I respect them a lot in that essence. But yeah, I think another one for me lately, I've actually in the last maybe couple of months, I've actually started to see a psychologist, because I want to understand why I'm doing certain things or react not only on the desk, but also off the desk. Why am I doing this sort of thing? You know, I don't feel good about it, or I'm messing up here. What is actually happening in terms of the way I react to things? And that actually has helped me in terms of understanding who I am as a person more. And I think that's something that I struggled a lot with when growing up, for personal reasons. From the age of 15 to 19, I didn't really and I kept my emotions in. And then in trading, it comes out on the desk if you keep them in. So I think for me, it's been a big one. And I haven't seen a psychologist maybe in like 2 years, but I think that's been a big one for me as well. So you're getting people around you that are going to make you more self-aware.
Love that. Boys. It's crazy we're sitting here.
Yeah, it was cool.
The in-person podcast is complete. So what's up for 2024? What can people look forward to from both of you? Because they hear it all from me on every other social media. Yeah. They hear enough out of me. What about you two? It's hard to get Tommy to even write a goddamn tweet sometimes.
I know.
So tell people what's going on in 2024. Where are you looking to make improvements?
So for me, it's just growing. I feel the last 2 years have been so good for learning. I now think it's about growth for me. Really increasing capital size, really pushing forward with the trading. And
you can tell he's going to have a big year, bro.
Just trying to stay
kind of scary.
Yeah, I think just keep doing
because he's dangerous. You are. You have so much knowledge and so much experience and so much study. When you study, just like when you find you do 15 back tests and you know what not to do, that makes you more knowledgeable.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to 24. I do think it's going to be a year of growth and just keep much of the same. Showing up every day, doing the same things, weekly report cards, daily report cards.
Leading by example.
Yeah, I think not too much different than what we've done this year.
What about you? Are you getting that surgery, you know?
Reduction. Size reduction. I think for me, you know, something that I've actually changed my perspectives in the way that I view things in terms of actually having like goals of I want to make X amount of dollars for the year or whatever like that. I think just taking each day as it comes because and being grateful for every single moment and being able to do what I can do for a career, a living, because you never know what's going to actually happen tomorrow or next week and something like that. So, I mean, if you had asked me a year ago, would I be, you know, married at the end of the year? I would say probably not. You know, so I think just taking each day and trying to be the best version of myself and improving on and off the desk and trying to be the best version of James that I can actually be. Yeah.
And I think that's great advice from both of you for everybody to follow and to try to put out for themselves in 2024. So can't thank you boys enough.
Yeah,
not just for this, but for everything.
No, same. Yeah, it's reciprocated back to you.
Of course.
Yeah, 100%. It's cool finally to actually...
I'm taller in person, aren't I?
Yeah.
For everybody listening, we appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe. I don't want you to miss any of the future episodes that we have. We've got a lot of great stuff coming from the podcast. Hopefully more meetups. Hopefully more in person. Because I think the one thing that we all agree is when we get together, we get motivated. More than any other Zoom call. What?
Hopefully in a sunny country this time.
Yeah, come to Florida.
South Africa, Belito.
Maybe 2024, we're going to do some type of like fun event where we do a little trading stuff, but like a golf event or something like that.
Yeah.
A retreat on a yacht, Tommy's yacht, something like that. So stay tuned, everybody. We're definitely going to let you know when we have that squared away. But we really appreciate you. For all of our listeners through the year in 2023, we've had Tom on episodes, both James as well on episodes. So we just can't thank you guys enough for sticking through. Make sure you're subscribed. I don't want you to miss any of our future episodes. And we'll see you guys in the next one.